you, Jean-Louis. Thank you, Josette. Happy birthday. Good morning, all y'all. So good to be here. Are you full? I'm still full. Oh, I love that line. It's time to shine your light on a situation. Is that what it was, Jean-Louis? Yeah. So, well, let's start that way. Spotlight on good news. Let's shine the light on a situation. Oh, well, it's right here. Look at that. What a handy-dandy thing. I invited Paula to share a little good news because, you know,
it happens.
Good news happens. It's real. It's not fake news. It's real.
Right. Yeah, this is for real. And I love to recognize demonstrations. Remember when Dawn needed a place to stay and I needed Dawn, and that was a demonstration that we spoke of, which was a lot of fun. And I like to look at everything, whether it's a good thing or not, as a demonstration. And this last week, there we go. This last week, I had one. In fact, I had more than one, but I'm going to talk about one. We all love music so much. It's very meaningful to me, and especially to hear a gorgeous concert of really good music every Christmas time. And many years ago, a group of my girlfriends and I would go to Saddleback College, where they provide the most beautiful Christmas concert once a year. And after the concert is over with, toward the end, they have a sing-along, and people stand up and sing when the words are on the screen ahead of us, and it's a wonderful community feeling to be singing together that I treasured so much. And then when Michael came down with his Alzheimer's, I wasn't able to go, and that experience drifted away. But one important thing about it for me was that during the singing, there were eight of us who went year after year after year, and we would have our arms around each other and sway to the music as we were singing, and it was just such a beautiful memory. So time has passed. I haven't been able to go for many, many years, and now I have my darling granddaughter with me, and I was thinking, gosh, I'd love for us to be able to go to a concert, and that would be my number one choice at Saddleback College. So I called a few days ago to see if there are any tickets left, and the person at the box office said, we have four left, but they're scattered throughout the auditorium, so you wouldn't be able to sit together, and there were just two of us. And I said, oh my goodness, I guess I should have called earlier, but let me talk to her, and I'll call you back in 10 minutes. Got back to her. Riley said she would love to go. I called him back, and he said, now there are only two tickets left, just in 10 minutes' time. And they are far apart, but we had decided, Riley and me had decided we would take them. And so I proceeded then to say, yes, we would like to have those remaining two tickets. They were way, way, way up in the back, but it didn't matter. Music is music. And I then told him about how meaningful the concert is and about my eight friends, how we went year after year after year, and we would sway to the music. And what happened the last time we were together as a group for that, the conductor turned to the audience, and he saw us. And he said, ladies and gentlemen, look at those ladies up there. That's Christmas. And it was so meaningful, and I told this person in the box office that. He was practically in tears, and he said, Paula, I have two VIP tickets together for you and your granddaughter. And that's where we'll be.
Oh, yay! That's great. That is some good news. Thank you for sharing it. So, You know, every opportunity that we get to share in the joy and in the good of someone else, that's what we want to do. And that's what we've been doing this month. We've been exploring sharing our good, and we've each had moments, I'm sure. We've each had moments and opportunities to feel the power that happens when we extend ourselves, when we engage mindfully and intentionally in sharing our good, whether it's relating something or it's experiencing it in the moment. And maybe even in giving a physical gift. I got one this morning, and it was quite lovely. Thank you. I trust you felt that power moving through you as you got to share your good. And I got to receive it. It was quite lovely. So the thing is that recognizing these experiences is not to fill up with ourselves, but to fulfill the expression of God. There's a distinction there, y'all. And by allowing ourselves to be in the experience of it and in the awareness of what is moving through us, not just happening by means of us, and that's important too. It's a really important part of it, but it's more than that. It's what's happening through us that I really want us to start paying more attention to. Too often, we underestimate the power of a gentle or encouraging touch, appropriate, a smile. Sometimes you have to say those things out loud. A smile, a kind word, a listening ear. And we've left them unfulfilled because we haven't recognized the power of it. So I'm really encouraging us that as this month winds down and we move into the next theme and the next focus of what our intention is, that we keep this awareness alive in our life as we put our attention on our intention to be in alignment with Spirit. It will continue to pull us forward. And you know, that's the thing. In this philosophy, we teach and therefore we explore the idea that real giving is the givingness of the self. And what better awareness to be moving into this holiday season? It's called the season of giving. Ha! Love it. But we're moving into it with a deepened awareness of what's happening in and through us. And you know, there's this thing that happens when we're in agreement, where two or more are in agreement, where a group is in agreement. So let's see if we could be in agreement with an idea here. Can we agree that Spirit is right here?
Yes.
All right. Let's consider and understand for ourselves that in each moment, each situation and experience, Spirit is revealing itself to us in the way that we can best know it, and it can best know us. In each moment, Spirit's revealing itself to us in the way that we can know it, and that it can know us. And that is going to change for each of us individually as we come to know it in greater ways, as it comes to know itself through fulfilling itself by means of us. It's going to shift. It's going to change. It's going to look different than our friends. It's going to look different than it did last week and different than it did last year. And yet continuously, it is this developing connection with the Spirit of God. And so as we listen, that perfect power reveals that we can engage with the goodness of life. That's what it's revealing. In greater and greater ways, that we engage, we interact, we participate with the goodness of life. Sometimes it's questionable. I have been there. Sometimes for me it has been questionable. Maybe you've had a similar moment where it hasn't felt so good. The beautiful thing about having been part of it and lived through as much as we've lived through is that more than likely we can trust that something else is going to occur. Something happens when we realize that life is happening to me and it's pretty hard. I'll say the word, it sucks. And then there's something within us that says, but wait, I have this power within me. I have a say in my life. How am I going to look at this? How am I going to make it more, how am I going to make myself more available to it? And we use the practices that we've learned, and we turn to prayer, and we turn to a prayer partner, and we use the tools that we've learned so that we are not at the effect of it, but we're part of it. But inevitably, even when we're so good at manifesting and demonstrating and creating things in our life and taking those situations that have been hard and challenges, the boulders, I think is what Tamari called it last week, and we learn from them and we find the silver lining in it and we grow from it and we expand from it. And pretty soon what we find is that life is yearning to be made known through us, not just to us and not just by us, but through us. There is this natural flow of life in and through itself. So we come to find these places in our life where we can connect with it. Do you remember that story about the little girl who she lived near a chapel and she would go outside and play, and while she was playing throughout the whole day, she would go into the chapel for a few minutes and she would sit there several times. And she'd go back out to play, and her mom observed it, and her mom asks her, "Well, what are you doing in there? Why are you going into the chapel?" And she says, "Well, I'm going in to listen because God might have something to say to me." We could be more like that little girl, couldn't we? And find time to pause. I don't live next door to a chapel, but I do live here part-time. Okay, a lot of the time. But we have places where we can have these little beautiful rest stops in our life. I'm old enough to remember stopping at rest stops on road trips. And if we have these places and these moments in our life that we can think of as a rest stop, where we're going to just go and be still and listen. Just listen. It's tempting to get excited about the opportunity to be with God, and we want to tell God everything that's going on. But these are the moments where we're listening. These are the moments where we don't interrupt the flow and we don't talk over the flow, but we simply be in it so that we can hear the guidance and the inspiration and the creativity and the wisdom. Sometimes it's hard to know if we're doing it right, this thing called life, doing it right. But, you know, there's no wrong way. There's no wrong way. Spirit is moving through each and every one of us. You can look around and you can look within and you can know and trust that Spirit is moving through this incarnation of its life. And so however we're expressing it, however it's showing up, this is us saying yes to that gift that God said, "Here, take this. It's yours. Take this." And we let it move through us. In the science of mind, I brought it down. It's a great read if you haven't yet. Right after the title page, the very first words in this book, "These lessons are dedicated to that truth which frees man," I'll add, "or woman, from himself, herself, and sets them on the pathway of a new experience, which enables them to see through the mist to the eternal and changeless reality. These lessons, this philosophy, this divine idea that is the science of mind." Ernest Holmes took ideas that he received. Someone laid them out. Many someones. Ernest Holmes took them and he synthesized them in his own way. And he lovingly shared his ideas of life for us to receive. Who's taken a class? Anyone? Yeah. What I love about this philosophy is that it's a thinking approach to the universal spiritual principles that we teach. We're invited to think about it. We're invited to question it. We're invited to challenge it. We're invited to embody it and make it our own and experience it so that we can express it and it can express us. That's awesome. Ernest Holmes wrote, "Divine givingness is the outpouring of life in everything, on everything, and through everything without fail." I added that. Every day we are given an opportunity to give to life. Every day we are given opportunities to receive from life. In every moment there is an opportunity to say yes to life. We do it in so many ways, and most often it is how we interact with others, each other. You know, someone will cross our path maybe just one time, and we don't necessarily know what that's going to be, what that interaction is going to be. But we can learn to know and trust that in every moment, what we have to contribute to that connection is love. It's kindness, it's peace, it's gratitude, it's joy. You know, it's recommended, and it might be a good practice to vet who we are giving to. But it can be a slippery slope when we start doing that, can't it? When we start asking people to prove that they're worthy of us to give to them. When we start questioning if an idea is worth our participation with it, when we start challenging that there is good moving in and through all of life. So when we do that, because we will do that, we will question it, we will challenge it, we will say, well, yeah, but it's our lesson. It's our opportunity to look at ourselves, not necessarily at them, but look at ourselves. Where am I feeling blocked in my flow of God? Where am I feeling separate? How am I engaging in this idea? I read something this week, and I'll have to paraphrase it because I didn't memorize it, and I didn't write it down. And it was someone relating about, someone relating about having to disengage from a relationship. And they were feeling like they needed to justify it. And that wasn't okay. But you know, as I was reading this and I was contemplating it, it's simply a matter of love. Everything is love in action. Love for someone else, love for ourself. Sometimes loving myself means I need to take a step back. I need a little breather. Sometimes loving means I extend myself. Sometimes love means meeting halfway. What we want to do and what I want us to do is to continue to expand our idea and our experience of love in action, in us and through us and as us, by means of us, all of it. At the very end of The Science of Mind, Ernest Holmes wrote, "When a man's thought rests entirely upon himself, he becomes abnormal and unhappy. But when he gives himself with enthusiasm to any legitimate purpose, losing himself in the thing which he is doing, he becomes normal and happy. Only as much life enters into us as we can conceive, and we conceive of life, in the larger sense, only when there is complete abandonment to it." It's often scary. He goes on. "Let the one who is sad, depressed, or unhappy find some altruistic purpose into which he may pour his whole being, and he will find a new inflow of life of which he has never dreamed." And so what I hear there Ernest Holmes is saying is find a place to give so completely and you will receive. And I'm sure I'm not the only one who has experienced it. I am sure that we each have an experience of that, of giving of ourselves so completely that we are filled up. Yeah. It's as if God says, here's how I am going to grow you. I'm going to give you some possibilities for an ever-expanding dimension of your soul. That's a poetic way to say stretch your self-awareness and your self-givingness. And all of the ideas and the opportunities and the possibilities that come with an invitation, here, take this, please. You know what I mean? This week I had the perfect example of it. I happened to get a group text with about a bazillion people on it. And everyone was, my family does this a lot. Everyone was replying and commenting and everything. And I started to notice myself getting just a little bit like. And then I remembered. Patty, take this. Take this. I don't have to do anything with it. But I don't want to block the flow of life. I don't have to pick it up and carry it around. I don't have to engage with it. But just let it be. Take it. Doesn't mean we have to get all involved in it and get all up in the business of it. Take it simply means let it be. Huh. Do you guys remember that carpenter who was ready to retire? He was ready to retire and be with his family, and so he went and he told his boss that he was done, and his boss says, oh, gosh, if you could just do this one last house for me, I'd be so grateful. So the guy agrees, rather begrudgingly. And he goes about building the house, and he doesn't do it to his usual standard because he really didn't want to do it. But he said, okay. And he built this house, and it wasn't up to his usual good standard. And the boss came over and said, thank you so much for building this house. And then he handed him the key to the house. This is my gift to you. Every day God's giving us a gift. What are we doing with it? What are we doing with it? Are we treating it as well as we would want to? Are we living our life to our highest possible way? Are we allowing God to be made known by means of us? Are we giving our gifts and giving them with love? Are we stretching? Are we growing? Yeah, baby, we are. Is it hard sometimes? Yeah, it is. In Ideas for Living, when life created us, it gave us the two great endowments of God, the two highest gifts of heaven, love and creativity. Love, so that we may have confidence in life, a sense of security and peace and joy in living. Creativity, so that we can really live as persons and express ourselves individually. Life has done very well by us. Would it be too much to say that God has given us the best he has and then let us alone to discover ourselves? Reminds me of that quote at the very beginning of the book. These lessons are for us. What will we do with them? Well, who's counting? I am. There's 35 days left in this year. I know, right? So, I have a 35-day challenge for us. Just say yes. Good. So, I am challenging myself and I invite you to join me to wrap up the year mindfully, being fully aware of the gifts that I am revealing, the ways that I'm revealing myself. We are entrusted with the gifts of God. We are the gift of life. How are we sharing that gift? So for 35 days, mindfully being aware of how we are getting more involved with our gifts. And, we might discover that we have some new gifts to share, that we are receiving new gifts from life. Maybe patience is this gift that just came to me. I think it must be one of the gifts I'm going to get this year. Greater patience, because we all have it, greater experiences of peace, a more connected experience of creativity and love. And so each day the question is, what is mine to give? And then we listen. We listen. And periodically throughout the day, what do I have that might be a fit here in this situation, in this moment? Am I willing to give it? Don't leave that part out. Am I willing to give it? Because when we give mindfully from that awareness, from that sincere question upon our own heart, am I willing to give it? In the giving, we give it to God and we allow it to move through us. And there's one more thing that I noticed about this idea of giving in my 35-day challenge is who's really good at being an anonymous giver? Like, really? Yeah, huh? I know you're out there. So have you ever known an artist? Never known an artist? Really? Seriously? I'm challenging that. Any artist. Did they sign their art? Yes. So, this 35 days, if we're very good at being anonymous givers, I'm inviting us to sign our gift, to add our name to it, to let ourselves be seen, to still be a good anonymous giver, but be willing to let your name be attached to what you're giving, to let yourself be known in the givingness. And if you are very good at that, maybe practice some being anonymous in the giving. Explore that idea of what it feels like to give completely anonymously and to give completely there. This is me. I'm giving this. Yeah, I resemble that. And put our name on it, our signature. Let ourselves be known. So it's a 35-day challenge. Do I have anybody that's going to play with me? Sure. Couple people. Yes. Yes. Do it. Do it. Do it. So, the thing is as we give full expression to life in the giving of ourselves, life returns to us in pouring forth its gifts to us, through us, and as us. So, now is the time. Now is the time to nourish that which is within us, that spark of light, that beauty, that joy, that creativity, that wisdom, and allow it to be made known by means of us. For we are the gift, and the gift is ours. So for all of the gifts that each one of us continues to give, that each one of us continues to make welcome into our own lives, I give great thanks. I give thanks for the ways that we listen to the guidance and the inspiration and the creativity of God. I give great thanks for the opportunity to continuously dive in and know this teaching in a greater way so that I may be fulfilled by that power, that presence, that authority of divine love in a greater way. And so for all of this good, I say thank you, and I let it be, and so it is. All right. Our band and the Boudreaux.